Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, November 1st, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everyone had a great week. We've got a lot to talk about, so I'm going to go through a list of topics, and then we'll jump right into it. So on this edition of the Weekender, we're going to be talking Ring of Honor. They have a new pure champion. The whole tournament has happened. We've been taking you through it week through week through week, and we have a champion. Can't wait to talk about that. We also have results for Impact Wrestling, NXT UK, 205 Live, AAW, UWN, and I have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled Dark Order Halloween Party. Before we get into all that, as always, I have a recommended show to watch on IWTV, and my show this week is a little bit different. Normally, I choose, a show, and I go through the roster and talk about all the talent and all that stuff. This week, I wanted to highlight something else because Tracy Smothers, longtime pro wrestler, passed away this past week, and he's someone I was able to meet in Nashville, Tennessee. He meant a lot for, the Tennessee scene, but he meant a lot everywhere. He's one of the most well-known, independent wrestlers of all time. He, of course, had time in WCW, ECW, and WWF, but he was mainly known as an independent talent, and he had a really long career, and he was really, really loved by a lot of people, and the small interaction I had with him, he was a really, really nice guy, and I was happy to be able to meet him. And, I just wanted to throw that out there because this week there is a show that you can watch right now on independentwrestling.tv, and it's Tracy Smothers' Shoot interview from 2003. So this, interview obviously happened around 20 or so years ago, but it's about 3 hours long. I believe it was by Smart Mark Video, I believe, shot it. And it's available, like I said, on IWTV. So, normally I would give you a match and or go down the matches and go through the talent, but this week I thought it was best served to spotlight Tracy Smothers and have you all check out his views on wrestling and of course go back and watch his matches. I would strongly recommend checking out GCW's Lights Out show. It happened in Nashville last year and Tracy Smothers wrestled on that show and he really he really incited a kind of almost like a mini riot in the crowd. It was pretty great that a guy at his age could still get that kind of reaction and just so well respected. So I checked that out. And of course, he has just years and decades worth of stuff out there. So, rest in peace to Tracy Smothers. And like I said, check out that interview. It's Tracy Smothers' Shoot interview from 2003. And in other news, Matt Tremont, who's best known for, his deathmatch wrestling and hardcore stuff, and he's a really, really well-liked guy in the business of professional wrestling as well. He did not pass away, luckily, but he retired this past weekend, and he had his last match against Ricky Shane Page, and I wanted to give him a shout-out as well, because, while I'm not a huge deathmatch wrestling fan myself, a lot of people that I, whose opinions on professional wrestling I really respect, have a lot of respect for Tremont. And I haven't seen, admittedly, I haven't seen a ton of his work because, once again, his style of wrestling, was something that I just don't know as much about, to be, totally honest. But it's one of these things where, I got to see him, at the Scenic City Invitational in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and, in a non-deathmatch, match. And just to see the respect that the wrestlers especially have for him and, the fans, he has so many fans. And, I thought his career was a lot longer than it actually was, but maybe it's because of, the toll of that style, But he's a guy, once again, just wanted to give him a shout-out, Matt Tremont. He's a guy I don't talk about enough here on the show, and a guy that I think definitely deserves a shout-out at the very least. So shout-out to Matt Tremont. Then, of course, rest in peace to Tracy Smothers. So those are going to be my recommendations for IWTV. Just go out of your way to watch Tracy Smothers and go out of your way to watch Matt Tremont. Even if deathmatch wrestling isn't really your thing, and by the way, there's a very large fan base for it. I'm talking about, a subsection of the fans that aren't into it, but there's a lot of people that are. If you're a big Matt Tremont fan, feel free to let me know. Hit us in the comments here. Hit me on the comments on Twitter at @FightTalk_, and feel free to include your favorite memory or match with Matt Tremont's, and I'll go out of my way to watch it, and I'll recommend some of that stuff here on the show. So I want to give him the respect that he deserves. So, big shout out to Tremont and big shout out to, of course, the late Tracy Smothers. As far as the topics for today, first thing we got to talk about is the Ring of Honor Pure Championship. So we finally, after all these years, and after this long tournament that's happened over the last 8 weeks or so, we have a champion. So since the last time we talked about this, Jonathan Gresham advanced to the finals over Josh Woods, and Tracy Williams, in what many people consider an upset, defeated Jay Lethal. So that's what we had in the finals. We had Jonathan Gresham versus Tracy Williams, and the new champion is Jonathan Gresham. He now holds the Ring of Honor Pure Championship as well as being one half of the ROH Tag Team Champions. So I'm not going to spoil this match other than, of course, I've given you the result, of course. But if you want to check this match out, just watch it. I don't want to tell you about any of the spots or anything. Just watch this match. These are two of the best wrestlers in the world in any company. I'm a huge fan of both guys. I said from the start when this tournament was announced that I thought that Jonathan Gresham should win this whole thing. So I'm glad that he did. And I'm okay with that swerve, too, because most people thought it was going to be Lethal versus Gresham. You know, of course, them being the tag team champions and, of course, being the highest-ranked guys in both brackets. It looked like, you know, they just kind of do the predictable thing, but it would have been fine because that's kind of what made the most sense as well. But Tracy Williams also deserves that spot. Like, Tracy Williams, I think, is an incredible wrestler. And I think that Williams versus Gresham was a swerve, and it was a swerve in a good way. And it worked out really well, and the match was awesome, and this whole tournament was awesome. I really enjoyed this, and I can't wait to see more of what they do with the Ring of Honor Pure Championship. There's two guys that I talk about all the time here on the Weekender podcast that I think should definitely be in the mix for this championship that are not currently a part of Ring of Honor. Those guys are Dana Maccabe and Lee Moriarty. Those two guys, I think, are shoe-ins for you know, a style of wrestling that caters to this Pure Championship. The matches that Maccabe and Gresham could have for that title, that Maccabe and Lee Moriarty could have for that title, there's so many good wrestlers out there, and those are two guys that really stand out. Fred Yehi is someone I would definitely put in that boat as well, but he got a chance in this tournament. You know, he was in this thing. So yeah, just so much talent. I mean, Gresham to win this tournament had to beat Wheeler Yuta, Matt Sydal, and Josh Woods. Hot Sauce Tracy Williams had to beat Russ Taylor, Fred Yehi, and Jay Lethal. I mean, just incredibly stacked tournament, and every match delivered, and the video packages throughout this thing were so good. I would just highly recommend going out of your way to watch any of this that you possibly can, but huge shout out to Jonathan Gresham, the new Ring of Honor Pure Champion. And by the way, he's the first champion since 2004 for this title. The last belt, I believe what happened, if I remember correctly, is Nigel McGuinness lost it to Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson was the Ring of Honor World Champion, and it was a title versus title. If I remember correctly, that's how that all went down. So since McGuinness / Danielson, 2004, I mean, that's 16 years ago. It's so wild to think, but yeah. Jonathan Gresham, new champion. Love to see it. I thought, once again, the tournament was great, and the person they decided to put this belt on 1,000,000% deserves it, as did many in that tournament. But Gresham was, in my opinion, the right choice for this belt. Moving on. This is the show a lot of people were talking about. So we have Impact Wrestling, and the end of the show is going to be more so what the people were talking about. But as far as the beginning of the show, really good stuff to start it off. We had Rich Swann retaining the Impact World Championship by defeating former champion Eric Young, hits a Lethal Injection, and follows up with a Phoenix Splash for the 1-2-3. The only thing I dislike about this is that Impact Wrestling has been showing patterns of doing this over and over again lately. It happened, same exact scenario, I'll go through both of them. This happened with Jordynne Grace when she lost to Deonna Purrazzo at Slammiversary. She lost the rematch in the Iron Woman match. It was either a week or two later. And that also happened with the Motor City Machine Guns in the North. The North lost the titles to Motor City. The next episode of Impact, I believe that's how that went down. I could be wrong, but I believe they retained again over them like right away. But I feel like there's been kind of a pattern of that lately where I feel like we didn't need to see Rich Swann versus Eric Young again right away. But, I mean, I'm always down for this match, and I'm a big fan of both guys. And I'd be fine with Eric Young or Rich Swann being the champion. So I'm great with Rich being the champ, having the belt. There's a lot of possibilities there. There's a lot of really great talent and Impact. And there's plenty that Eric Young can do with the belt or without the belt. He's a humongous asset to that company in any in any manner. I mean, whether it's the guy main eventing the show, the guy opening the show, whether it's comedy, whether it's serious, whether it's tag team wrestling, whatever it is, the guy's good at all of it. So totally good with everything there. After that, we had a Halloween weapons match between Tommy Dreamer and Brian Myers. Dreamer gets the win after hitting a DVD through a table. Swoggle also appeared in this, who's been matched up more lately with Brian Myers, who's one of his real life best friends. If you follow the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, you see a lot of Swoggle and Brian Myers together. So it makes sense that that would translate onto the show. You know, I'm not huge on Dreamer winning this match personally. Just going to be honest about that. I feel like they should really be pushing Brian Myers over Tommy Dreamer. There's a lot more to this feud, I think, because, you know, this has been ongoing for a minute. And I think ultimately Brian Myers will probably stand tall over Tommy Dreamer. But, you know, it'd be my viewpoint whether it's, you know, pretty much anyone against Tommy Dreamer at this point. Because while I fully respect everything Tommy Dreamer's done for his entire career, like, I was a huge fan in ECW. I followed his career through the WWE, independent stuff that he did, obviously all this, even the little bit of stuff here and there he did with like AEW, with like I guess maybe like All In, and you know, him being a part of the Nightmare family and all that stuff. I respect the hell out of Tommy Dreamer. Even the stuff that he did with like OVW and the stuff like booking wise and stuff. I mean, and I also know people personally that he's helped. Like wrestlers that I know, young wrestlers that have Tommy Dreamer has helped get them bookings on shows and stuff, giving them a lot of good advice. But in the ring in 2020, heading soon into 2021, I just don't see the point of having Tommy Dreamer beating people who could potentially be bigger stars for your company. Once again, at the end of the day, Myers will probably get the big win. And I know that Myers is a huge fan of Dreamer. I mean, like, I obviously he's not gonna have any issue putting, quote unquote, putting Dreamer over. Or vice versa, like, you know, but it's just one of those things. It's just strange to me that, you know, we're another year in and it's still Tommy Dreamer, like, beating people that I feel like should be, you know, elevated to a higher spot on the show. So that's just my personal opinion. Speaking of people that, you know, also it kind of confusing booking lately, we had Team Triple XL defeating the Rascals. The finish came when Larry hit a splash onto Dez for the 1-2-3. Now, Triple XL, you know, I like for what they are, especially. I mean, like, I think AC is actually a bit underrated. I think he's really good, and I like Larry too. And I think that they work well together. But I think of the two, I think AC is more of like a potential star, just for whatever that's worth. And the Rascals, it's like all three of the guys involved in this team could be main eventers right now. You know, you could easily see them in the ring with Rich Swann wrestling for the world title. But they keep losing, and that's it's getting strange to me. I don't know if this is like a planned thing where, you know, maybe it'll turn them heel, but they kind of work way better as baby faces because they're really fun to watch in the ring, and they also have the whole 420 gimmick and stuff. Like they're people like you would actually like, you know, in real life, or at least I would. And once again, their in-ring stuff is all good. Like everything that all three of those guys do is great. So I don't understand how often they've been losing lately. Is especially Bound for Glory just a couple weeks ago, they lost in like 3 or 4 minutes on the pre-show to the Deaners. And you know, no disrespect to the Deaners. I like Cody and I really like Jake something. I think that, you know, I talk about Jake on this show all the time. I talked about Jake even on my personal podcast. I did an interview with Danny Adams, aka Dan the Dad, just the other day, and we talked about Jake something on that show as well. I mean, I'm a huge fan of his, so I'm a big fan of the team. But the kind of squash win over the Rascals was confusing to me, and it's because of the talent the Rascals have. So, don't really know what's going on there for sure. The next match that we had, Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz defeated Alicia Edwards and Jordynne Grace. The finish came when Jordynne was rolled up. Tasha rolled up Alicia for the pin. That's right. They ran into Jordynne Grace before the roll up. So yeah. We'll see what winds up happening. After the match, we got Moose attacking Willie Mack. So this is going to be interesting because Willie Mack, I've been saying for a long time now. He needs to be elevated to like the main event. They got to figure out something to do with him. And I think that Moose came off really good after his win over EC3 at Bound for Glory. I think the match itself is going to be very polarizing. And I thought the actual, like, from like a, you know, whether people liked it or not standpoint, but it was funny because I was right in the middle for the match itself. Like, the first half of the match I thought was really stupid, and the last half of the match I thought was really good. So I think at the end of the day, it helped put Moose in a better spot than he was in going into it. And now I'm actually really looking forward to Moose and Willie Mack. So we'll see where that all heads. I'm assuming it'll be for the TNA title. And yeah, I think that'll be really good for everyone involved. I'd like to see Willie Mack get the win in the feud, but I know that, I mean, it looks like they're really going to be pushing Moose a lot again. So we'll see where that all goes as well. And for next week, we find out Chris Bay is going to be wrestling Trey Miguel. And we're also going to get a Knockouts Championship rematch. But Chris Bay versus Trey Miguel, it has potential to be one of the best matches of the year. I mean, I think both guys are just ultra talented. Of course, I was talking about Trey Miguel as a part of the Rascals just a minute ago, but Chris Bay, you know, as I was just talking about Willie Mack, Chris Bay defeated Willie Mack for the X Division Championship. Then in the rematch, Chris Bay beat him again, and to me, I was like, oh wow, that really must put you in a spot where like Chris Bay is gonna be like this longtime champion, and they're gonna really feature him and really push him, which I'm fine with. I think Chris Bay is very talented, but then he wound up losing the belt to Rohit Raju, which once again is fine because I think Rohit Raju, you know, aka Hakim Zayn, I think he's a very, very, by the way, another guy me and Danny talked about on the podcast because he's another Glory Pro guy. I think that he's really talented, and I like him as X Division champion, but it was a little confusing because it made Chris Bay a little bit lost in the mix. But him versus Trey Miguel, I think that's hope that those two guys are still very much in the mix. And when you have situations right now where it looks like we're going to be getting a big match between Moose and Willie Mack, we're getting Trey Miguel and Chris Bay soon. I'm sure that whoever wins that will be pushed, you know, higher up the card. So I'm good with all this stuff. This was a really, really good episode of Impact, and we're not done talking about it because the thing that most people are talking about is the wedding. So we had Rosemary, we had Johnny Bravo, we had Father James Mitchell doing the ceremony. We had Hornswoggle out there. Tommy Dreamer was out there. Just a whole cast of people. A lot of people that were involved in Le or almost Legends House. Wow, Wrestle House. And the thing, and you know, Crazy Steve's out there, and you know, they basically get to a point where Father James Mitchell has pronounced Rosemary and Johnny Bravo man and wife. It's time to kiss the bride. The lights go out. You hear a gunshot and see a what looks like a, you know, mini explosion, and then the lights come back on, and Johnny Bravo is laying there. But apparently dead with a giant gunshot wound in his chest. And yeah, I mean, very silly, but this whole Wrestle House thing for weeks and weeks has been silly. So like this was really on brand, and I really don't hate it. Like, as goofy and corny and silly as it is, it's meant to be that. And I don't think it really takes away from the show, to be honest. And it got a lot of people talking about Impact Wrestling, and it's going to lead to some sort of like murder mystery story, which once again is going to be stupid. But you know, the real question is stupid versus entertaining. You know, if it's, you know, if you put that on a seesaw and you weigh it, and you know, one side is stupid, the other side is entertaining, and the entertaining outweighs the stupid. Like, I mean, sometimes you just go with that, especially when it's pro wrestling. So I would say, you know, this. Once again, you got a lot of people talking about Impact. A lot of people were, you know, legitimately laughing out loud at this. A lot of people liked the story. You know, it just is what it is. I laugh about it because I've been talking about how stupid this whole Wrestle House thing has been for, you know, the whole time. And then like the big plot twist wound up being someone literally getting shot, you know. So it's like, all right, we'll see where this goes next. But in all honesty, in my opinion, a really good episode of Impact Wrestling. And yeah, there's not much more I can say than that. So, Moving on, we had NXT UK. Looking forward to talking about this show because there was a match on this show that was incredible. So show started off with Valkyrie and Dani Luna. Valkyrie gets the win over Luna with a split leg drop. I guess you'd call it that. We had Jordan Devlin versus Levi Muir, and Devlin got the win, hit the cloverleaf for the tap out. Jordan Devlin's somebody that clearly the company is super behind, and with good reason. I mean, he's super talented in the ring. He has a good look. Obviously, he reminds a lot of people about Finn Balor, but I mean that's a good thing, I guess, at the end of the day. And yeah, he is a cruiserweight champion, the NXT cruiserweight champion. You have Santos Escobar still with that U.S. cruiserweight championship, if you want to call it that. So we'll see if those belts eventually get unified. I would imagine that'll happen whenever they can get Devlin over to the States again more often. But I do want to see more out of Devlin because, or not more, more of Devlin. I shouldn't say more out of Devlin, because I think that Devlin is really talented, and I think he's going to have a super bright career ahead of him. So we'll see where that kind of heads next. Because after the match, he basically cuts a promo saying that he's the real cruiserweight champion, and it looks like he's going to be defending that NXT cruiserweight title. But once again, at some point, they've got to do unification, I would imagine. And in the main event, in honestly one of my favorite matches of the entire year from any company, Walter defeated Dragunov to retain the NXT UK Championship. This match was absolutely incredible. Like, this is one of those where you have to go out of your way to watch it. I don't say that often, as far as I feel like most people, if they hear a match is good, if they really want to check it out, they'll check it out. They don't really need that extra encouragement. With this, I would, like, you have to, if you're a pro wrestling fan, you need to watch this match. Incredible stuff. I love Walter as champion. I think that he just does great work, and he has for a long time, especially on the independent scene, and the way that he was able to carry that same style over to NXT UK without really changing anything. I think it's just fantastic, and he's the perfect guy to be the champion right now. And Dragunov, everything I was saying about Jordan Devlin, I could echo for him, and then probably plus a little bit more. Like, Dragunov he's a star. Like, this guy, I don't know if he'll be like the NXT UK champion, or if before that happens, they'll bring him over to like the NXT, in the US, that's on USA Network and all that stuff. I feel like Dragunov's gonna wind up transcending that UK brand, similar to how Pete Dunne has, and Walter Wells as well. But Dragunov, I mean, this match was just so good, and there were multiple times where I thought Dragunov was gonna get the win, and I mean, that's part of it too, is like there's sometimes in matches where you really feel like you already know the result. Like, a perfect example is this past Wednesday when Kenny Omega wrestled Penta on AEW, in the winner going on to Full Gear for a shot at the title. Everyone knew that Kenny Omega was going to win that match, but there were multiple times in that match where Penta, they were so good at what they were doing, it actually convinced me for those split seconds of like, oh shit, Penta's going to actually win this thing. Like, and Dragunov and Walter were able to pull that off multiple times during the match, and it was just really, really good stuff. And yeah, I mean, both guys just beat the hell out of each other. Words aren't going to do this match justice. You need to go out of your way to watch it. It was one of, if not the best match of 2020, in my opinion, for any company. So check that out. And if you couldn't tell already, obviously, if there was a rating system for NXT UK, I would put it at the highest rating for this past week. Check that out. Another show that I thought was really, really good this week, 205 Live. I say it all the time. It's, not a lot of consequences if you watch the show. You're not going to see a whole lot of stuff that's can't miss, but you're always guaranteed for good wrestling matches and really talented wrestlers. And the first match of this show proved that. Curt Stallion, a guy that I've been talking about on this show for literally years. I'm coming up on around 2 years or so doing the Fightful Select Weekender podcast here. And Curt Stallion, someone I've talked about probably at least 75% of the weeks in some way, shape, or form. He's a guy that I constantly had on that totem pole I always talk about in independent wrestling. There's the levels, and Kurt Stallion was on that top level, ready to sign, ready to break out, and he was on my list for a minute there. And boom, Kurt Stallion's not only part of the WWE, he's getting wins. This finish was when Ari Daivari, basically at the ringside, Tony Nese was doing commentary. He came up onto the apron. Kurt Stallion headbutted him, Tony Nese, that is, and then Daivari tried to use that to his advantage, and Stallion wound up rolling up Ari Daivari for the win, which it was great to see because it looks like they're actually going to do something with Kurt Stallion. I don't know what that's going to be. Don't know if that means he's going to rise the ranks of the cruiserweight division or if we'll see him, on NXT or what that's going to be, but Kurt Stallion is a guy that, I'll just name drop him, I guess. I don't know how to say it, but Dylan Hales, who helps, or I shouldn't just say helps, he's a major part of the Scenic City Invitational and Southern Underground Pro and with Action Wrestling and a lot of, he's not the only one that deserves credit, of course, but he's someone who I look towards as someone for like advice as far as when I'm trying to figure out the next upcoming stars that like no one has heard of, or not nobody, but you know what I mean. Dylan, when I see Dylan recommending people, or I see Dylan saying certain things about certain people, it makes me start paying attention to those people. And that's the kind of, I guess, respect that I have, for Dylan and what he does in independent wrestling. And what, of course, then that translates into all wrestling. And I remember him telling me on a podcast years ago that he saw Kurt Stallion as the most maximum effort wrestler he'd ever seen, or something along those lines. I don't want to misquote him, but it was the maximum effort that really stuck with me because that's the truth. Kurt Stallion's not the biggest guy. He's not the most impressive looking guy. He's not the best guy in the ring that you've ever seen. He's not huge. He's not tall. I mean, he's like pretty unassuming when you look at him. He's kind of lanky. He's put on a little size, but like he's kind of string beanie. It's just like you don't really think much. And then when he wrestles, you're like, oh my God, this guy's incredible. Like, he goes hard as hell in the ring. And he's a guy who lived in Texas and would drive all over the country on the independents. I mean, I would watch him live in Nashville and in St. Louis and Chattanooga and everywhere. Yeah, it was great to see Stallion get this win because it looks like they're going to do something with him. And I'm really happy to see that. He was a guy that was getting a lot of traction in Evolve before Evolve shut down. So it's great to see him kind of rebounding, which of course, the Evolve thing, that's not his fault, of course. But of course, Evolve had that link with NXT, which then has the link with the WWE. So when Evolve shut down, a lot of people's futures were kind of in jeopardy. And Kurt Stallion and Josh Briggs are two guys. They haven't done anything with Briggs yet, but I think Briggs is going to have a bright future because he checks a lot of boxes that WWE looks for. Very talented guy. And moving on, we had one more match. Mansoor and the Brian Kendrick defeated Everrise. The finish came when Mansoor hits the. I'm so bad with it, how to pronounce the name of this move. It's that move in the corner, the Shorinu, real bad with that one, for the 1-2-3. So Mansoor and Kendrick getting a win, good stuff. I mean, it's something. Everrise keeps having solid matches. They've been doing stuff on NXT and stuff again or lately. So, but there's been something brewing with Mansoor and Kendrick the last few weeks. Kendrick and like the younger guys in general. And yeah, I'm interested to see where this heads because I think Mansoor has a lot of talent and he has a lot of potential, that a lot of untapped potential still. And he's definitely much more than just the guy they use when they go to Saudi Arabia. Because at first, that's what it was, right? It was no one knew who this guy was. He never really did anything. He was never on Raw or really on NXT or anything. And then they'd go to Saudi Arabia for one of their super shows. And all of a sudden, Mansoor was like this unbeatable dude just winning everything. And it was like, wait a second, this is kind of weird. Like, he only does that over there. And now you're seeing a lot more of seeing what he could really do, here in the States and, all over the world. So it's nice to see Mansoor transcend that because There was all you never know with the WWE. There's always the potential of them just having a guy like that they only use in that scenario. But it looks like they're gonna do something with Mansoor because he's been featured on 205 Live a lot lately, and deservedly so. I think he's really good. And Kendrick is someone that is great for younger guys to work with. So all this made sense, and it was another good show this week. So yeah. Speaking of kind of independent talent that talking about Curt Stallion and those guys just a second ago. Another show I want to highlight this week, we have more results, AAW Live. This show happened on the 29th, just a couple days ago. We had Ace Romero defeating Travis Titan, Cody Lane, and Brandon Lee. We had Sky Blue defeating Sierra. We had Manders defeating Ace Perry. ACH and Freddie Ahai went to a time limit draw. Matthew Justice defeated Jake Christ, or sorry, Jake Crist. Blake Christian defeated Steven Wolf. The AEW Tag Team Championships were on the line. Ace Austin and Madman Fulton retained over Angel Dorado and Gringo Loco. And in the main event, Hakeem Zayn, a.k.a. Rohit Raju, and Karam defeated Mance Warner and Jake Something. So I chose this show to give some results for because normally, at the top of the show, when I go through my IWTV recommendations, it gives me a chance to highlight some independent talent. And since I wasn't able to do that today, I figured I'd do that for this show. And some of these people you've heard about before, but we also have new listeners sometimes here on the show. So I wanted to, point some people out. Manders, out there still killing it. Dude is like a. I was just talking to my friend John Mosley, who I do an MMA show with. And he's really linked in. I mean, huge shout out to Mose. Follow him on Twitter at Mose, KOBK, Mose, KOBK. He's a commentator for New South and Southern Underground Pro and a lot of places now. He's just out there killing it. And I was just talking to him the other day about Manders. And I was like, man, isn't it crazy? You got this guy, Manders, who's like, he's like a generic looking guy. Seen the cowboy gimmick a trillion times. Comes out to Bon Jovi. I mean, it's the most just on the nose, just cowboy thing you've ever seen. I mean, you've seen it a trillion times throughout wrestling history. And despite all that, when he gets in the ring and wrestles, he gets over everywhere he goes. Every match he has winds up being good. He had, in my opinion, my favorite match of 2020. It was Manders versus Graham Bell at Action Wrestling a few months ago. Thought the match was incredible. Of course, Manders being half of that match. I mean, he goes out there and just puts on great matches and gets the crowd to buy in and believe in him. And gotta be a fan of a guy like that. Also, ACH versus Freddie Ahai. This was great for when it lasted, but, obviously, time limit draw. But obviously, two of the best wrestlers in the world. ACH just keeps getting better, which is kind of crazy to think because he's just insanely talented as it is, but he keeps getting better, in my opinion. Freddie Ahai, I think, is one of the best technical wrestlers in the world, and I'm so happy to see him getting the chance that he's getting a Ring of Honor. Matthew Justice is on that totem pole that I was just talking about. How I was talking about Curt Stallion being at the top of that list for a while. And when I say top of that list, there's like 5, 8, 10 or so people that I'd put in this category. Matthew Justice is one of those in that category right now. He's ready to break out. At one point, he was signed to the WWE, and it's kind of crazy to think about because like he left and then wound up just like totally reinventing himself out in the indies, and now he's once again, like I said, just like right there ready to break out. So just keep your eyes on Matthew Justice because I feel like his time on the indies isn't gonna last much longer. I think he's gonna get signed somewhere soon. And hopefully he's smart about the way that he works because part of what's gotten him so over is how crazy he is. Like he takes unprotected chair shots to the head like often. He jumps off balconies, like he does a bunch of crazy shit all the time. He's a good wrestler and a great character too. But a lot of what got him as big as it's gotten him is that kind of stuff. And I think when he moves on to like an Impact Wrestling or an AEW or wherever he winds up landing, I don't think he'll have to do that kind of stuff nearly as often, but he'll be just, if not more, as over. So I'm looking forward to the future for Matthew Justice. Blake Christian and Steven Wolf, I'm a big fan of both of these guys. Blake Christian, I saw, is going to be doing some stuff for New Japan soon, which is just awesome. I think that he's, once again, totem pole. Matthew Justice, Blake Christian's on that same rung. Stephen Wolf a couple rungs down, but it's just because just more experience, which is it's coming, it's happening, and he's I like his gimmick. I love how he represents the Native Americans, how he does the he has like the red hand on his face that like symbolizes it was like a really deep symbolization. He explained it on Twitter not too long ago, but it was along the lines of like there's like I guess a lot of domestic violence within that community. And that hand represents basically the victims, and he's like fighting for the victims, which I think is like pretty incredible. And Stephen Wolf's a guy that I saw for the first time probably 3 or so years ago at Glory Pro Wrestling, and he just keeps getting better and better. But Blake Christian's just one of those guys who just has undeniable talent, and he kind of just recently really burst out, as far as someone who everyone's talking about in independent wrestling. And he's going to make that jump very quickly. He's going to be one of those guys where, sometimes people need experience or whatever it is. Do I think Blake Christian is like the 100% complete package, ready to go right now anywhere? Not necessarily. Like, because I think he'd be way better if he wasn't in the Indies for a little bit longer and main evented all over the world, on the independent scene for a minute and really built up a big, big name and had this whole, resume of stuff. But he already has a pretty damn impressive resume, and he's so good in the ring that you really don't need a lot of that other stuff. It's very similar to Benjamin Carter. Like you can literally take Blake Christian and put him in the ring with anyone, and Blake's gonna get himself over and get the other wrestler over and make the match good, and people are gonna be talking about him afterwards. So you can, he kind of nothing that I said is meant to be as like a diss of any kind towards him. It's actually a major compliment. And by saying this, I mean Blake Christian is so good already at what he does. He can skip a lot of the process. Like what takes a lot of people years to kind of build up, years and years and years and decades potentially to build up, this guy's going to be learning that kind of stuff on the fly, and he's going to succeed. He's already so good that I mean, just imagine him getting to like AEW or New Japan or NXT or whatever the case is, and imagine him getting to work with like Cody and getting to work with Omega and getting to or any other you go to do some stuff in New Japan, you're working with Osprey. I mean, just imagine how good he's gonna get working with those kind of guys. So, huge shout out to Blake Christian, bright future. Of course, we also on the show had Ace Austin, who I just always talk about it. He should be featured as one of the main event wrestlers of Impact Wrestling. He should have already been the champion at this point. I think that they could be doing way more with him. I like him and Fulton together, but I think that Ace Austin, he's just so money. That guy is gonna be if Impact Wrestling could hold on to him for the next 10 years, and I mean he's like your top guy for like the next decade if booked correctly. He's super super talented. If Impact Wrestling can't do anything with him, he needs to get out to like AEW and become a real massive star, because he has the potential to be one of the top guys in all of wrestling, in my opinion. Shout out to Gringo Loco, who's in this match too. He's another guy who like the first time I ever saw him, just like saw him before I saw him wrestle, I was like, what's going on with this dude? Like he it looks strange, and it's hard to explain that. It's the stuff he was wearing. It was like this full body, it was like this shiny full body, red, white, and blue and silver like bodysuit thing with like these like riffraff haircut and like Macho Man shades kind of thing. I was just like, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea who this guy is or how he wrestles or any. I'd never seen him. Then he gets in the ring and he like blew me away. I was like, this guy's awesome. So shout out to Gringo Loco, because every time he wrestles, I enjoy the match literally every time, which is like one of the highest compliments I can give anyone. If I can say every time I watch your matches, I enjoy them, like that's So Gringo Loco was on the show, so shout out to him. And then other people I've mentioned, a lot. Hakeem Zayn, the X Division champion, is Rohit Raju, just killing it. Mance Warner and Jake something. Mance Warner, somebody who's also on that totem pole at the top. Mance is probably the chippy tippy tippy top. He is probably the next one. Like, if there's that group of 10 that are like ready to go right now, any company, I'd say Mance Warner is ranked number one of all those. I mean, he's TV ready. He is great in the ring. He's a great character. You know he's different. Like the second he comes out and you see him on the entrance ramp, you start questioning like, well, who is this guy? Like, and then you see his mannerisms and the lariats and light beers and all that stuff, and it's like, yeah, he's ready. And I think AEW is just a complete shoo-in for him. I think if he doesn't wind up in AEW soon, something is really, really wrong. Not to mention, I mean, he can go anywhere and be successful, but I think AEW is just such a perfect scenario for him. And then also shout out to Jake something, aka Cousin Jake. I talked about him a little bit during the Impact results, but he's out there doing his thing. And another guy that me and Danny Adams talked about on the show, because he's also a Glory Pro guy. He keeps getting physically larger and better in the ring, and he's just gonna keep getting better and better. And he's already doing great work in Impact Wrestling. The sky's the limit for a guy like that. So those were the results for AAW. We got UWN results. Show started off with the Hollywood Heritage Championship. Ray Rosas defeated Kevin Martinson. We had Aaron Stevens challenge James Storm and Eli Drake to an NWA Tag Team Championship bout. We had the Bodega, the team of Danny Limelight and King Fatboy Papoesco, defeating Real Money Brothers, the team of Big Money Clutch and R&B Suge. We had Eric Redbeard, formerly known as Eric Rowan, by the way, Eric Rowan of WWE fame. He will debut on November the 3rd. So we found out that he's coming to UWN Primetime Live. We had a match that a lot of people talked about because, obviously, we've seen things on AEW and stuff since. Serena Deeb defeated Thunder Rosa to win the NWA Women's Championship. This was really surprising, but I don't hate it because I think Serena Deeb is super talented. She's one of the best female wrestlers in the entire world, and so is Thunder Rosa. I think there might be a little more upside to Rosa with her age and kind of her gimmick and stuff like that, but we'll see what happens because there's a lot of rumors that she's signing with WWE, and if she does, she'll fit right in because there's a lot of really talented women in the WWE. But I'd like to see her more in AEW because she's already built a little bit of a foundation there. And it's also been said, I believe Billy Corgan, the president of the National Wrestling Alliance, I think he's the one that said that Thunder Rosa is still under contract to the company through next year, I believe. So we'll see what happens. NWA has had a history of letting people out of their contracts to work for other promotions, so that could also be what's happening, for all I know. But, Serena Deeb winning the title, I'm totally fine with that. It was just a little confusing, because it just. It feels like if Thunder Rosa was gonna lose the title, the only reason she would is if she was gonna be working with another company more often. And Serena Deeb is great, but I think Serena is signed to AEW. If I remember correctly, I think I remember her actually signing a contract with the company. So, yeah. We'll see where this all heads, but I'd like to see more of Deeb versus Thunder Rosa, though. That's the kind of match where I'd be fine with like a best of five kind of series or something, or best of three kind of series between the two of them. So good stuff and good match. And the main event of the show in the first round of the UWN World Title Tournament, Chris Dickinson defeated Peter Avalon. This was a result that I expected. Avalon is way better than what people realize, by the way. Like, I thought he was pretty darn talented before he signed with AEW. Obviously, his role in AEW is to be the comedy and lower card guy and all that. But him main eventing these kind of shows totally makes sense. And Chris Dickinson is someone who, like, I'd be fine with him winning this whole thing and winning the tournament. The guy's been around forever. I mean, if paying your dues is a thing in wrestling, the guy has paid his dues, 10 times over at this point. And he's at the top of his game and he deserves whatever's coming to him. Like, I think that he. If he's gonna be with UWN or with NWA or whatever, like I think they should push him as one of, if not the top guy. And if that's not working out, I think it's just a matter of time before Impact AEW or WWE offers him something, because I mean, the talent's there, a 1,000,000,000%, and the respect's there too. I know the wrestlers, you know, they've known him for such a long time, you know, most of them, and he's ready. I mean, I thought his match with Moxley at Bloodsport was great too, just for what that's worth. He's done so much great stuff with Beyond Wrestling over the years, the last like decade. Chris Dickinson, so he deserves a lot. And honestly, I think he'd be best served in Impact Wrestling. That's just me personally for the short term, because I think he could be injected into that show and immediately be a main eventer. In a company like AEW or NXT, he has main event level talent, undoubtedly, but I think he would get to the top faster in a company like Impact. He would be able to raise his stock really fast and get a lot of buzz for himself as a top act in that company. And then when his time's up there, then that big signing with AEW or WWE, I think, would make a little more sense. Now, once again, if he wound up in either of those companies right away, or New Japan, or wherever he winds up going, he's going to be successful anywhere he goes, because he is just, once again, he's just very, very solid. He's super talented. And he's believable. The things that he does is believable, which is something that I think is really important in pro wrestling. So, you know, that's all to say. Chris Dickinson gets the win, moves on in the tournament for the crowning of the UWN champion. Last but not least, here on this Weekender podcast, we have a review, a recap, if you will, of Being the Elite's latest episode titled Dark Order Halloween Party. The opening segment goes on for a little while. Kind of hard to explain by just talking about it, but basically, Matt Jackson has a phone. It's a new phone. It's an iPhone F, and it stands for the phone of the future. And basically, what we find out is he's been taking pictures, but now he's able to like see the future, and the future is like, for instance, he sees the best friends like murdering Brandon Cutler, like the image of it in his phone. He sees an image of Nick Jackson holding the TNT Championship and then potentially going on a singles run. And he sees eventually he sees Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone looks like he's gonna stab him with the pen. It was, you know, it me talking about it doesn't do it justice at all. But this is actually a pretty well done segment, in my opinion. But it also has to do with the phone of the future. After that, we get the Dark Order. They are having a Halloween party and they're showing off all their costumes. we had Stu Grayson as Sexy Robin from Batman and Robin. Evil Uno was the Riddler. We had who was it? Why I'm trying to think of his real name. Alan Angels. I say his real name. I don't know what his real name is, but his wrestling real name was Alan Angels. He's five in the Dark Order. He was, I think he was the Joker. There was like multiple people who were the Joker. You had Silver dressed up like a girl with a blonde wig. You had Wardlow at the door as a security guy. So basically what this all boiled down to though is Stu Grayson was really pissed off about his costume, and then when he realized that Anna Jay was the one who picked it out for him, you know, of course he was totally fine with it because he simps hard for Anna Jay. We had Brandon Cutler asking a bunch of people who they thought was going to win between himself and Peter Avalon, because that match, I won't spoil that match if y'all haven't checked it out yet, but Peter Avalon and Brandon Cutler wrestle each other, and the winner gets their first win ever in AEW, and they were just hyping it up through that. We see the Dark Order Halloween party again. Broken Matt Hardy comes in, and the Dark Order thinks that someone dressed up as Matt Hardy, so that was pretty funny. And then they realize that it's him eventually. We get the whole Gator Golf being the elite championship thing that they've been doing week after week. John Silver, Matt Jackson, and Trent have moved on in that tournament. Eddie Kingston winds up cutting a promo on Halloween, and he's holding a plastic pumpkin, and he's talking about like Tupac and Santa Claus and like who's real and who isn't and all this stuff. And he cuts this pretty good promo on Halloween, and about how Santa, you know, doesn't come to his neighborhood and all this stuff. And then he like stops the promo and like the camera's still running and he's like out of character and he's like asking Matt Jackson like, "Hey, was that good? Like, was that good enough?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, it's funny." And then Eddie winds up telling him like he's like looking at the camera. He's like, "Oh, this thing's still on. Hey, like I know a lot of kids watch this. Santa Claus is real." Blah blah blah. So he tries to like save face. Like he's like completely out of character, but it still doesn't want like kids to like he doesn't want to be the reason like kids don't believe in Santa Claus. So like he breaks character to like let people know, which I thought was pretty funny. After that, we see more Halloween party stuff. Leva Bates is there, and Nala Rose is there. Wardlow is at the door, and it's up to him to decide who gets in and who doesn't. So Sammy walks up to the door. Sammy Guevara, Wardlow nods, lets him in. Griff Garrison shows up, and Wardlow and everyone in the party think that it's Jungle Boy. And Griff Garrison himself says that he's Jungle Boy dressed up as Griff Garrison, which is just hilarious. Private Party tries to get in, and Wardlow won't let them in. He's on a list, not invited list. The only other people on that list are Brian Pillman Jr., and I think that might have been it actually. basically, they all rag on Private Party, saying it's a public party and they're not invited, which is obviously a play on Private Party's whole gimmick. And then the show wraps up with a bunch of clips showing FTR injuring Matt's ankle and beating up the Young Bucks. And basically, Nick comes up to Matt and like asks if he's like ready to go where they're heading, and they're walking down the hallway, and there's this whole montage, and we've seen kind of more a little a bit from like storyline about Dark Order, not Dark Order, about the Young Bucks and FTR, and since this episode, the Young Bucks have announced that if they lose their title match against FTR at Full Gear, that they will no longer challenge for that championship belt. Basically, the same thing that Cody did when he lost to Jericho, saying he'll never challenge for the AEW World Championship and stuff. So that's going to do it for the episode of Being the Elite, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. Please make sure to give me a follow on Twitter at Fight Talk underscore. That's FightTalk_. I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.